Heavenly Father, your Spirit is amongst us, and we thank you. We thank you for being with us on this holy Sabbath day. We ask that you will change us. We ask that you will open our minds to hear your word from your throne of grace. Lord, I ask that the words that come out of my lips will only come from you. I ask that you will take self out of the picture completely. And so, Lord, may this message be to your honor and glory and for our edification and renewal. In Jesus' most precious name, amen. The story goes of a man in Maine, in the state of Maine, and he used to work with dynamite as a living. One day, things went drastically wrong. There was an explosion, and he lost his sight and his limbs. And he was very sad with that. He was very frustrated and depressed. And it took him many months to come to a point where he could live life again, or semblance of life as he thought. The one thing he missed the most after he got over the initial shock and despair was reading. He loved to read the Word of God. And now he could not. He could not read Braille because he had no limbs. But he was impressed one day that he was going to learn Braille. And he was going to use his tongue to learn Braille. And he agonized and he studied and he tried over and over again to learn just one letter with his tongue. And he could not. And finally he got down on his knees and he said, "Lord, I want to read your word. I want to read your word. I want to be drawn close to you by reading your word. Please give me victory. Let me learn just one letter tonight in Braille." He struggled with it all night long. The sun was breaking through. And yes, at last, he learned one letter by using his tongue. And it took months and months and months of dedication and commitment. And you know something? He learned every single letter by reading Braille with his tongue. And you know something else? To this date, he has read the Bible through 4 times with his tongue. I found that so amazing when I read that. When I read the story, and I read that story about 3 months ago, and I said, that is a sermon that we need to hear. An individual who was in despair, who suffered illness and shock in his life, but yet did not give up hope on the Lord of heaven and earth. He asked for victory, and he got victory. He received victory. John 5:24 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." He is passed from death unto life. By reading and studying God's word, you infuse this life, the power of the Almighty, in your mind. When you read God's word, you partake of something. What is that? His Holy Spirit. You partake of the divine nature. You feed on God's manna. As we sail through the waters, you must take the Bible with you. You must. A ship was wrecked. The sailors were abandoning ship and they were jumping into their lifeboats. And just before the captain let the order go to release the ships into the side of the ship that was not against the land, but against the sea, to get out, one of the sailors jumped up and said, "We have forgotten something." They forgot their compass. So they went back into the ship, got the compass, got into their boats, managed to get to land. They were in the wilderness, so now they needed the compass. How often do you think they looked at the compass? Was it once a week? You have to look at your compass all the time to get your bearings. And we have to read the Word of God all the time to get our bearings. Sometimes we wander. Sometimes we miss the boat, shall we say. Remember to take God's word with you everywhere. His compass alone will guide you to the safest harbors. When you are setting a course strictly by compass, strictly by the word of God, you will reach the promised land. That is a promise. You will reach the promised land. In Acts 17:11, we're very familiar with this voice. I ask you to turn there with me. Acts 17:11. These, now who are they talking about there? They're talking about the Bereans. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. And Isaiah 30:21 says, "And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, This is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand, and when ye turn to the left." You may read the Bible and think that it does little for your life, if you are in that situation. You may read it for family worship and think that the message runs off other members of your family's back like water. But I like this little illustration. But like a log tossed on a frozen lake, God's word may appear to be rejected and ignored, but someday, when the cold, hard heart thaws, the log of truth sinks in and becomes a part of that life. Psalm 119:11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Folks, if we keep studying and digging into the Word of God, we will continually be changed and renewed and revived. Absorb it every day. A man attended an evangelistic series. When visited afterwards following the evangelistic series and invited to join the Fellowship of Christ, invited to join the church, he refused. And his reason was that he said he got enough out of the series of meetings to last him all of his life. He might as well have tried to eat enough breakfast in one sitting for the rest of his life. It doesn't work that way. Reading the Bible refreshes the soul and gives clarity, vitality, and direction in our walk with the Lord. But there is one word of caution. Choose for your study an accurate translation. Some Bibles appear to be giving a confusing influence. With billions of Bibles in print, how could that ever be? Well, I believe one of the reasons is that some of the Bibles are not actually Bibles. The Bible was written in Hebrew and Greek and a smidgen of Aramaic. Therefore, it is paramount that you own and use a version of the Bible that faithfully translates the meaning that the inspired writers intended. You may want to choose the King James Version. Benjamin Franklin, and most of you, everyone has heard of Benjamin Franklin before, a very unique and intelligent person. But he liked to argue or debate a point a lot. At times, he would be overwhelmed by the logic of his friends. He would say, "I know I am right. Give me a day or two, and I will prove that I am right." At that, he would rush home and set up some type and add to the Bible by printing in new words that would support his point. Then, with a gleam in his eye, he would rush over to his adversary and say, "Whatever you may think, you cannot get away from the fact that the Bible supports my arguments." Since the men didn't know their own Bible, he won the argument. Can we be fooled? Can the very elect be fooled? If it were possible, it says. If it were possible. It's not possible if we're studying the Word of God. Today, there are about as many Bibles as there are people. Billions. With so many new versions and paraphrases out there, the Christian must be vigilant and judicious in selecting a suitable Bible for their study. Here's a few. The Living Bible, The Message, The Good News Bible, The Contemporary English Bible, The Reader's Digest Bible, and so the list goes on. There are Bibles for children. There are Bibles for women. There are Bibles for men. There are life application Bibles. There are Bibles for teenagers, Bibles for retired people, Bibles for parents, Bibles for singles. You get the point. There are lots of Bibles. Do you know that belief in the Word of God is actually declining, even if there are billions of Bibles in the world? Declining. People buy translations, and when they sit down to actually read them, they begin to wonder if they are indeed reading God's Word. The long-predicted famine in Amos that we read could be here. There are thousands of Bibles that are not accurate translations. The Bible is not preached from. In so many churches, the Bible is hardly ever referred to in the pulpit. Sermons are social or entertaining. In millions of homes, Bibles are used for decorations. The pulpit here is where in relation to the sanctuary? Center. It's in the center. And where is the Bible? It's in the center. The position of the Bible here and the pulpit here tells you a lot. It tells you something about the belief. Here it means that Bible preaching is central. Have you noticed in Bible-believing churches that there are brothers and sisters who bring their Bibles? This is not an old Bible, but they bring old Bibles to bookbinders, and they get them rebound. Why is that? Why don't they just go and get a new Bible? It could be cheaper. They're comfortable with their Bible. Their Bible has become like a close friend to them. They've marked their Bible. They open their Bible and they see verses that remind them of something. It isn't their Bible if they buy a new Bible. Not yet. It's their Bible when they use their Bible. We live, folks, and we can't deny this, in a throwaway age. Let's not throw away the Word of God. Let God rebind us and remake us. The phrase goes, there are only two things certain in this life, death and taxes. You can avoid eternal death. You can have immortality by saturating yourself with the life in the Word of God. John 6:63 says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And chapter 40, verse 8, adds this, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. When you connect your life to this word, you too will become something that will stand forever. That's a promise. I pray that we really and truly and genuinely understand that text. So often we try to get by with so little of the Bible. Just a tad here, a little bit there. And we wonder why we experience Christian dwarfdom. There are folks in the Fellowship of Christ who have been baptized, perhaps for many years, but still remain spiritual dwarfs, stunted by a lack of spiritual food. They have stayed away from personal Bible study. Because of this, their Christian experience has turned to spiritual weakness. They are dying from hunger. Get your Bible out. Read it. Study it. Mark it. An evangelist stood up and he pinpointed some of the church members. And he said, sister, do you have your Bible with you? And she said, yes, I do. Can you bring it forward here, please? He takes her Bible, opens it up. And he started to show the people in the meeting just how marked her Bible was. It was highlighted. It was notes written on it and favorite Bible text written in. He said, this is the way a Bible should look. And then he took a new Bible and he opened it up. He said, this is the way a Bible should not look. And shame on you if you do not want to write in your Bible. And I just sort of sat back and said, wow, that was pretty strong. But he's right. Why do we have the Word of God? We need to really get into it. Listen to this quotation. The creative energy that called the worlds into existence is in the Word of God. This Word imparts power. It begets life. It transforms the nature and recreates the soul in the image of God. Don't you want that today? I want that today. Philippians 2, 5. Chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Notice the two words there, in. There's two examples of in there. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Satan knows this. The last thing he wants is for you to open up your mind to the life-changing presence of Jesus Christ. He doesn't want you to do it. To have the mind of Christ, we must read and follow His words of life. Satan wants to keep you from the Bible. It seems that life is so busy that the Bible is squeezed out. We need to rethink our priorities. Let us squeeze out anything but the Bible. Anything but the Bible. Let's say that this Bible represents all of the technological advancement from Noah's flood to 1940. This space here. Now, on that same scale, we add the development from 1940 to now. Do you know how high the chart would be? 40 stories tall. So you can see that we are living in the last days. With so much knowledge to learn, we have pushed aside the Bible, it seems. As a means of intellectual training, the Bible is more effective than all other books combined. A Bible label might say, warning, this book is habit forming. Regular use causes anxiety, decreased appetite for lying, cheating, and hating. Other symptoms include sensations of love, joy, peace, and Christ-likeness. If you are tired of the same old life of failure and spiritual weakness, then you need to spend time with God reading His Word. Personal study, that people are digging into the Word as never before because we are living in the end times. We need to know Christ. We need to know His Word as never before. If you really want to experience more, then you must connect yourself to God's power. I'd like to read something that will give us some insight. Some you've heard before, and some you may not have. A Bible in the University of Göttingen is written on 2,470 palm leaves. According to statistics from Wycliffe International, the number of new Bibles that are sold, given away, or otherwise distributed in the United States alone is 168,000 per day. Did you know that the Bible can be read aloud in 70 hours? Did you ever try it? There are 8,674 different Hebrew words in the Bible, 5,624 Greek words, and 12,143 different English words in the King James Version alone. How many books are there in the Bible? How many chapters? 1,189 chapters. How many verses? 31,101. How many words? 783,137 words in the Word of God. How many letters? 3,566,480 letters. What's the longest verse in the Word of God? It's Esther 8:9. Esther chapter 8, verse 9 has 78 words. What's the shortest verse? It's John 11:35. Two words, Jesus wept. What is the middle books of the Bible? It's Micah and Nahum. What is the middle verse in the Bible? Psalm 118, verse 8. What's the longest chapter in the Bible? Psalm 119. What's the number of times that the word God appears in the Bible? 3,358 times. And the number of times the word Lord appears is 7,736. How many authors are there of the Bible? 40. And how many number of languages has the Bible been translated into so far? Over 1,200 languages. It's amazing, isn't it? How many books are in the Old Testament? 39. How many chapters? 929. What's the middle book of the Old Testament? Proverbs. What's the smallest book in the Old Testament. Obadiah. And just a couple of more. How many books are there in the New Testament? 27. How many chapters? 260. What's the middle book of the New Testament? 2 Thessalonians. What's the smallest book? John 3. And what's the largest book in the New Testament? Luke. And one final point. Here's the top 10 list of animals in the Bible. The animal that's most often listed in the Bible is what? Sheep. Next one. Lamb. What's the next one that's definitely not related? Lion. Okay, I'll read down the rest. The next one, ox, ram, horse, bullock, ass, goat, camel. In that order. Top 10 list. The Bible is exciting, isn't it? That's just a bunch of statistics. But wait until you get into the Word of God and you read about Moses and all the Bible characters. You can relate to them. You can relate to Peter. The story is told, final illustration, of an NBA rookie, basketball rookie, who played on the Chicago Bulls team in the prime days of superstar Michael Jordan. And he was astounded at the ability of Michael Jordan during that game. Michael actually garnered 68 astounding points during that game. Now, if you ever watched basketball, that is an amazing amount. 68 points in one game. The coach of the team decided he would be gracious and let the rookie play for the final couple of minutes. And the rookie actually got 1 point for that game. He was interviewed after about the game, and he said, "Together, Michael Jordan and I scored 69 points. Now, there is a reason why I say that. How about the Lord's team? How do you get on the Lord's team? You sign up when you give your heart and your life to Him. You need to commit your life fresh every single morning. Read His Word fresh every single day. You actually align yourself with the eternal God when you assimilate His Word into your life. Because we are living in the closing time of this earth's history. I'm excited to get into the Word of God. I want to study the Word of God. We need to study the Word of God. Search for hidden treasures. We're all busy. Where do we find the time to study the Word of God? If you don't plan, if you don't have a deadline, you do not have a goal. We need to have a goal. We need to commit to study the Word of God. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Let's take that theme seriously into our lives, because the Lord is coming. He is coming. Let's not debate how long it's going to be, but He is coming. For you and me, He's coming. Oh, let me walk with Thee. Is that our commitment this morning, folks? That we let the Lord walk with us? That His mind will be in us? That we will open His Word on a daily basis, commit our lives to Him? Oh, Heavenly Father, You love us. You love us with an agape love that we don't truly fathom sometimes. But You are always seeking and searching for us. Lord, Your Word is light unto our path. Your Word is precious to us. We commit our lives to You. We commit that we will read Your Word, that we will study Your Word, that we will eat Your Word, and that Your Word will bring us into the new kingdom. We thank You that You have given us this precious gems of light. Lord, please forgive us if we have sacrificed our time and to the extent that we don't read Your Word. Give us victory in the areas of our life where we can find time to read Your Word. Lord, let us cast aside those things that are unimportant in our life. And let us take Your Word, open it, absorb it. Lord, we know that we will be renewed. We know that if we open Your Word, we will be ready when You come home. And if we open Your Word, we can share the precious light that can only come from You to those around us. People are starving for the Word. We have been blessed. Help us not to take that blessing lightly. Let us read your word. This is our prayer. In Jesus' most precious name, amen.